Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. New book today, Habakkuk. Habakkuk means in the Hebrew tongue to embrace. What you want to be careful of, little is known about him other than he is a prophet. And he was a prophet to Judah. Israel, the 10 tribes, have already been taken captive by the Assyrian, or are about to be. And Father, through this prophet's letting Judah know they're not getting off the hook. They're going to be taken captive by the king of Babylon. So it is good to embrace, but you want to be careful who you're embracing. Because this goes all the way to the Antichrist. You might embrace him, thinking you were embracing Almighty God through the Son. So Habakkuk probably was written with a 100-year correction about 515. Okay, so and no more need be said about it. Let's get into it. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. The burden, or the oracle, which Habakkuk the prophet did see. So here we know he is a prophet. You don't know really where he came from other than to Judah, from Judah probably. But who his father was, we'll see. Verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. In other words, your people are going amok. They're running amok. And I cry as a prophet. I try to teach. I try to cry out. You're not answering, and they're sure not listening. Verse 3. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. And so it is. Will this always be with us? Is what he's saying here. Verse 4. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. They swarm them. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. This word wicked, you with companion Bibles, you're blessed, because you will note that this is Rasha, which means it even goes forward and looks forward to the coming of the Antichrist, okay? The chief wicked one. This is why I would say, and this won't be the last time in this book he'll be singled out. That's why you want to be real careful about who you embrace, that you know who you're embracing. Well, how do I know that? By knowing the truth. Because wrong judgment will come forth when you are judged by people that have no common sense as to what our Father would say or have us do, or simply to do justice, that is to say, to do what is right for the people. And what he's saying here, this prophet, it's all around us. We can't even get a decent decision passed down. Verse 5. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. And that work is, of course, we look forward even to the end times, when God would bring that work forth, that people would begin to believe, people would be fed, the old bones would be prophesied to, and truth would come back into them, and life would begin to come forth from the four winds just before the end, as it's written in Ezekiel 37. Verse 6. For lo, this is our Father speaking here, I raise up the Chaldeans, that's Babylon, okay, that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. In other words, here comes Nebuchadnezzar. Here comes his troops. They're going to take Judah, just as the 10 tribes that were north were taken by the Assyrian. Our Father always corrects his children. But then sometimes when the enemy, who is the king of Babylon to us in this generation? Satan himself. The king of Babylon of the great book of Revelation, which applies to us now, is none other than Satan himself. And you never want to miss that, because that work that God produces is a work that allows deception if you're taken in with it. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God says, if they want to believe a lie, I'll send them strong delusion. They can count on it. That's why you want to stick with your Father's word. And so it is. Verse 7. They are terrible, speaking of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. They do exactly what they want to do, and they have the power and the will to do it. This is why their weapon in these end times is deception. And whole nations are swarmed and netted in by that deception. They swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Verse 8. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more furious, than the evening wolves. They're keener. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. This, of course, when it comes from wide and far, it's one worldism. Okay. It's going to happen, beloved. It is written, our Father has spoken it, and so it is, that one worldism shall come. Through what? Deception, basically. Verse 9, they shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. In other words, their very faces are so emotionally and geared to, as flushed as the east wind in interest of what they're doing to destroy, to deceive, and they take captivity as you would the sands of the sea, that many. This is why you don't have to wonder when you read in the great book of Revelation that the whole world wonders after the Antichrist, the beast, that system. Verse 10, and they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. All they have to do is, if there's a wall built there, they'll push dirt up until they can just walk over it. That's how they take things. And that's the way deception works. This is why you want to remember one thing. You want to remember Jericho. And you want to remember how we take walls. Okay. How that God's truth, seven times around, and the sound of God's trumpet, the word of God, brings down the enemy's wall. That's the work God will produce in these end times. You want to be geared for it. Verse 11, then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. We're going to turn this all to religion. False teachings. God is with us. Satan always likes to play God. Okay. Verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord God? Mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. With Babylon in the end times, so it shall be. God's going to correct them. You can count on it. But he's going to give some free rein to those that are ignorant of God's word. If you are part of God's truth, or if you have absorbed God's truth, if you're familiar with it, God is your strength. And you're going to learn to depend on that strength, because you're going to need it with what's about to happen. Verse 13, thou art of purer eyes than to be.